Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker, and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, you know, things tend to get a little out of control the last couple of hours of the week. Ben Reed's Rap's coming up. It is a Friar Friday. Trainwreck Friday. Birthday Friday. We got it all going on this Friday. We also have the Padres hitting the road for 7 games, 3 in Colorado this weekend. Then they go to Milwaukee, where they can once again be a part of the wild card chase, at least as a spoiler. Hey, you know what? 2 out of 4 against the Cubs. No one can say the Padres laid down.
No.
Yeah, they did their part for all the other teams. Milwaukee is now tied with the Cubs for the wild card race, and they can tip their cap to the Padres for a little assist in that score there.
I did see SNY tweeted the other day after Paddock beat the Cubs. They're like, our old buddy Chris Paddock goes out and dominates the Cubs. It was really funny, and I thought in really good fun. That's a good bit.
I really would have thought that hopefully, you know, after the way the season started, that this series against the Rockies would have been, you know, if not a couple
something.
Of leaders, but, you know, some couple of teams maybe trying to, you know, hang on. Hasn't played out that way. It's been a tough season for the Padres. It's been a really tough season for the Colorado Rockies, but we still, because we've been waiting all season to catch up with her. There was no chance I was going to miss this opportunity. Joining us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline, one of the Colorado Rockies broadcasters and our good friend Jenny Kavnar. Jenny, it's so great to have you on here, our new radio home. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, and let me just put it that way. You guys are on super early. I mean, this is, like, early for me, and I'm a time zone ahead of you. So you're welcome, and that's how much I like you.
Thank you so much for getting up. So what did go wrong for Buddy Black's team this year? I mean, last year they finished with the same record as the Dodgers, right?
At
the
end 91 and 72 last year.
Yes, and now they're, like, a million games behind the Dodgers. What happened?
Like, it's so crazy how 365 days change. I mean, you're looking at a year ago and you're talking like, well, the Rockies have a chance to win this division. They can do it. They just have to, you know, get the Dodgers here or have someone else get the Dodgers there. And okay, they didn't happen. We're going to 163. Like, all this excitement going into September last year and where this team was at. You talk about, for the first time in Rockies franchise history, they went to the playoffs back-to-back years. So as you guys can only imagine, expectations were super high coming into this season for this team and where they were supposed to go, and not only end up in what we like to call Rocktober around these parts, but also make it farther than they did the year before. That's kind of the goal of a team that didn't lose too much on paper, but you really start to look at the effects of losing a DJ LeMahieu and the quiet leadership that I think he brought inside that clubhouse, and then obviously an Adam Ottavino and the arm that was for this bullpen. Minus those two guys, though, everyone was back. You have the addition of Daniel Murphy. Well, Daniel Murphy gets hurt out of the gate. They lose Gerardo Parra and Carlos Gonzalez, who, again, might not seem that big based on where those guys are in their careers. But I'm telling you, the clubhouse chemistry early, I think, really became more of a big deal than you would think for this team. There's a lot of grinders in that clubhouse. We're talking about Nolan Arenado and Charlie Black, guys that come to work and work really hard every single day. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there aren't a lot of loose guys in there. There aren't a lot of the jokesters, the guys that know when to keep it light. And on top of that, you had a lot of young guys trying to become starters every day like a Ryan McMahon. So I think early on that's something you can point to. There was a slow start to the offense. But really, now that you're looking back on the season, the Rockies don't have one starter in their rotation that was in their starting rotation to begin the season. And I'm just preaching to the choir here, because how many Padre seasons have you mm-hmm. gone through where you haven't ended up with that same starting rotation, or you've had to deal with the injuries like that? And really, their depth got tested, and it did not look good on the other side. I mean, right now, they're rolling out a starting rotation of five that should be in AAA for all intensive purposes. And credit to those guys, because they've come up and they've struggled and they've made the most of their opportunities. This weekend, you'll see Peter Lambert on the hill, who has a inflated ERA over 7. Yet he's a 22-year-old kid that's probably having to learn some hard knock lessons at the major league level. And hopefully in 2 or 3 years, he'll look back on the season and really be grateful for that opportunity he had to get experience against really good hitting in this league. But they've definitely had to take their knocks on the pitching side. And as you can imagine, for Bud Black, that's been a really hard 6 weeks to have to deal with that.
That was like the most thorough answer ever. Jenny's had her coffee. It may be early, but Jenny's had
her. Are we done?
No, we're not done.
We're not done yet.
You're too locked in to let you go right now. We're talking to Jenny Kavnar, Rockies television broadcaster here on Ben and Woods. A couple of glaring numbers. You know, the home record is 36-36, and I kind of feel like if you have the luxury of playing at Coors Field, or the luxury of playing at Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park for that matter, all pretty hitter-friendly ballparks, you gotta do better there. The run differential, though, -123. I mean, you have Nolan, again, having a phenomenal year, and some guys have had some good years. I can't put my finger on it, but, you know, you mentioned Buddy Black. I mean, is he hot-seating it up right now, or is this just looked at as...
Like, two playoff years in a row, but we know how...
It's a step back, but we know how baseball is.
Fans are nowadays, and even front offices sometimes.
Well, I definitely hear you guys, but he just signed a contract extension before the season started. So if you're going to hot seat him up after a year that you were injury ridden, I'm not sure like that's the best move you're going to do. I think that Bud Black is the right man for this job. He's the right man to right the ship. And in all honesty, you know, having covered the Padres, having been there in Bud Black's years of, you know, 07 to 11, there were some great years that they didn't make the playoffs. There were some really bad years. And I talked to my colleagues a lot this season about it, because it was the first time they had to watch Bud Black kind of go through this tumultuous season and go through this fact that this team wasn't as good as they were supposed to be. And I really looked back on some of those years, and I'm like, if there's one man to get him through this season, it's this guy. He's been through this. He's had to bring up all these kids from AAA through injured seasons. He's had to go through this loss. No one wants to do it. I mean, if anyone's going to be a competitor in Major League Baseball and you want to point to a guy that wants to win, Bud Black is a guy that wants to win. There's no doubt. I'm not saying he's a good guy for losing, but I'm saying he's a good guy to get them over this hump. Especially in a year that it wasn't supposed to be this way. And he's been that manager you expect him to be in that clubhouse. And I really do think that they're going to have to make some big changes, and they're going to have to look in the mirror this offseason. And whether that's, you know, the front office saying, okay, some of these signings, some of this money that we spent a couple years ago, we spent the most money in Major League Baseball, the back end of a bullpen. And we're going to have to take a hard look at those numbers, because Wade Davis, Brian Shaw and Jake McGee have not been the pitchers that they are paid to be. And they know that. They'll be the first ones to tell you that. But there's still years left on that contract. There's still more time for them. So what are they going to do? And I think that's gonna come to the front office. I know I saw an article yesterday that some of the players were asked if an overhaul is needed on this team. And whether it was a PC answer or not, you know, Nolan was the first to say, like, no, I don't think so. And I hope the injuries aren't an excuse for what happened this season. Like, we just have to be better. There's no question about it. And so, I think they've taken a hard look at themselves. They know they've underperformed. They know the injuries have been there. But at the end of the day, this offseason, I think, is gonna be a real look-in-the-mirror kind of situation for the front office.
Yeah, Jenny, that was kind of the direction I really wanted to wrap up with you, because the Padres think their window is opening, you know, in the next year to 2 years.
I think everyone in the NL West sees the Padres.
The Dodgers window is never closing. We know that. It's going to be open forever, unfortunately. The Diamondbacks, we all thought.
NL West titles.
Yeah. The Diamondbacks, we thought, might be going into a rebuilding mode. They trade away Paul Goldschmidt. They've been just fine. They've had a very decent season. The Giants, they may have to rebuild a little bit, but that just leaves the Rockies. I mean, you can't all be going for it all at once. Do you feel like it's going to be a quick turnaround, or are the Rockies going to have to take a step back for a year or two to kind of retool that roster in the NL West?
I don't think it's going to be a step back for sure. I really do believe this is going to be a strange year when you go and you assess where the Rockies were towards the end of, what do we call this decade, the 2010s?
The 2010s,
leading into the 20s. I think if you took a 5-year sample, what you're going to hopefully see is they went to the playoffs 2 years, they had this really awful record, and then they were right back in the
It's an aberration because, this year, you think?
Yes, because to me, you start to look at the pitching. Number one, it always comes down to pitching. Kyle Freeland cannot have this bad of a year again. Maybe he can. I don't know. But I'm just saying, knowing him as a competitor, knowing the extra juice he has wearing his hometown jersey in his hometown, knowing the ERA he posted at Coors Field last year, like, it is in that guy to be a great pitcher. It is definitely in there. You can't have season-ending surgery for half of your pitching staff, including John Gray, who's quote-unquote the emerging ace of this team after a bounce-back year for him. Germán Márquez led this team in strikeouts last year. He has powerful stuff. Like, you're talking about your big three, and they're right there. I think the Rockies could add another starter, another formidable starter, and to do that, you're going to go out and have to make a trade somewhere. And who's going to, you know, be the sacrifice on that end? The other thing you're up against is your ticking of your clock with Nolan Arenado. Yes, you signed a long-term deal here, but it's not a Manny Machado deal. This guy has an out after 3 years, and that's in 2021. That's when Charlie Blackman's contract ends. So they also have a window that they know they need to compete because they have to show Nolan Arenado that year in and year out, they want to be in the postseason. I thought that clause in his contract was brilliant because it allowed Nolan to be Nolan, but it almost forced the hand of this front office and of this team to say, we're going to compete and we're going to make sure we have the pieces we need to be in the hunt for the postseason every year so Nolan doesn't want to leave after that contract is up. So again, I think it forces their hand to go make those changes and make sure that next season is not like this season.
That's a great point. Jenny, I'm glad that we tracked you down, made you get up early. Apologize for that, but we do really appreciate it.
Let's be honest. I have a toddler, and like coffee calls my name at like 5:30. So we're fine.
Woods has got a toddler too.
I do. 19 months old, and quite a pain in the ass. I'm not going to lie. He's quite a pain in the ass. He's lucky. He's attractive.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Well, good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Jenny.
You too.
Jenny Kavnar, Rockies television broadcaster. On AT&T Sportsnet on our SDCCU fan hotline.
She's so good.
Yeah, she's so fun to talk to. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. Low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com.
Auto loan rates.
That is not good news, what Jenny's saying for the Padres.
Not at all.
You kind of were hoping, okay, it didn't work out for the Rockies this year. Let's blow it up. Maybe we can trade Charlie Blackman, rebuild around Nolan Arenado, and in a couple years we'll be good again. But Jenny said, hey, Nolan Arenado's got an out. They can't afford to not compete. If he wants to leave after 3 years because they've had bad seasons and they got a bunch of young players, he'll be gone. So they actually have to go out and spend some money and bring in some pitching and figure out what went wrong this year. That's not good news for the rest of the NL West, including the Padres.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's they know now their window is 3 years, and they've got to get something done in that time, or Nolan Arenado can be like, deuces, I'm going to Boston or wherever.
Dodgers are going to be good. The Rockies still are going to be trying. The Diamondbacks don't look like they're going away. Padres think their window is opening. Only one team can win the division. Yep. At most, you can get two wild cards, and that's very rare that they both come from the same division. So, you know, the odds are already kind of stacked against you.
Oh, boy.
To begin this opening of the window.
Now you got me panicked again, Benny.
Yeah, it's easy to panic. It is easy to panic if you're a Padres fan. There's no doubt about that. We will talk some Friar Friday baseball. Sam Gainey, Padres Senior Director of Player Personnel, is going to be our guest coming up at 8:35. Up next, though, don't do this. Woods, do you have anything in particular that you're going to share with us today?
Well, I've been waiting all morning to bring up the story that went down in Miami yesterday, Ben. I think it's a very appropriate place for don't do this. It involves naming rights.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
It involves naming rights for a new arena or the arena.
I also have a story. It's an old story. It's a story I've never heard, and it's a sports story that will make your head spin.
Love it.
That is coming up next.
Don't do this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, less than 30 minutes away from our biggest fan contest. Be listening for your name. Chance to win Padres tickets, Aztec tickets, the grand prize Vegas trip to the Venetian and Legacy Stadium. But we got to get to it. Three sports stories that make you shake your head. And Woodsy, I start with a follow-up to a note do this from earlier this week. Remember when LSU head football coach Ed Orgeron accused the Texas, administration of shutting down the air conditioning in the visitors' locker room.
It was Tom Herman himself.
And everyone went crazy, like, oh, Texas, how can you do that? Gamesmanship. We talked about it. Well, Texas has come back with the receipts. And I didn't know you could do this, but apparently when your athletic department costs like $40 billion like Texas's does, they have this high-tech system where it actually, like, you can print out the exact temperature and thermostat setting of, like, every room and every building all the time. And they actually went in public and said, hey, it was the thermostat was set to 68 in your locker room. It got up to 74. I mean, if you think that's Texas hot for you, then I guess that's on you. But they had this entire, like, printout going,
that whole
Ed
Orgeron report was fabricated.
You are a liar. Or that's, Texas
why
has
am
come,
I doing? Why am I doing Sling Blade instead of...
Billy Bob Thornton coaches the LSU Tigers.
I sure like them French fried potatoes.
Is that Ed Orgeron? A little bit. I think I hit it better earlier in the week. Yeah. All right, Ben.
More Cookie Monster.
Yeah, all right.
Or that's maybe Patrick Mahomes.
I can't. I'm lost right now because I've been dying to do this story.
Do your story. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll just do it, right? Just dive right into it.
All right, it's a legitimate sports story you're telling me.
I'm nervous.
The Miami Heat announced that their 20-year-old home, the American Airlines Arena, will be changing its name next year. There's a famous film studio in Southern Florida.
MGM?
No, no.
Paramount?
No. It's called Bang Bros. It's reportedly ready to submit a $10 million bid for the naming rights of the team's new arena. And on their official Twitter feed yesterday, which, by the way, I do not follow. I saw it retweeted into my timeline, Ben.
I will bet.
You can go look. It says, we've officially submitted our $10,000 bid for the naming rights to the Miami Heat. $10 million. Yeah. $10 million bid for the naming rights to the Miami Heat Arena. Wish to thank American Airlines for their past support. We intend to change the name to the Bang Bros Center, a.k.a. the BBC.
It's a stunt, Woods. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
You know what they didn't tell you?
What?
How long their offer was for. We could rename Pechanga Arena Ben and Woods Arena. $10 million offer. For the next 10 million years, we will get the naming rights. $1 a year.
Fine.
You can make any offer you want.
Right.
They're not going to accept it.
It doesn't matter.
It's not going to be called... The Bang Brothers Center? That's not what it's going to be called. I promise you that.
Well, yeah, they were going to shorten it to what?
BBC? Like the British Broadcasting Company?
Just like that. Yes, just like that. Now, obviously, this is a publicity stunt, but a publicity stunt that worked because now everybody is talking about them.
Exactly. Including you.
Including me.
Yeah, they got you, Woods. They got you.
They did. Yes, they got me. But you said this morning, like, I think it's fake. I think it's an Onion story. And I said, no, people actually went and researched this. This actually happened. They did make that bid. So
I'd like to know how many years that bid is for. All right, finally, I've got this.
BBC.
British Broadcasting Company. I came across this story on Twitter. It's not new. It's 115 years old, but I had never heard it. And I thought it was This is a don't do this, just like classic edition. This is a story, Woods, of the 1904 Olympic marathon. And this is straight from like Wikipedia and how it went down.
Okay.
Just here are some of the details.
All right.
Just get here you. The only source of water for the competition was a well at about the 11-mile mark. James Sullivan, chief organizer of the Olympics, decided to allow only water, one water station, because he wanted to conduct research on purposeful dehydration.
Oh, good.
Even though it could kill the competitors. The marathon ended with the worst winning time ever, almost 3.5 hours. First to arrive at the finish line was American Fred Lors, who had actually dropped out of the race after 9 miles and hitched a ride back to the stadium in the car,
that's a good bit,
waving at spectators. But when the car broke down, he jogged his way back to the finish line and almost got away with it until they realized his deception. He had actually already gotten like a picture with Alice Roosevelt, daughter of Teddy Roosevelt. They found out. They ripped it away from him, banned him for life. The actual winner, British-born Thomas Hicks, was aided by measures that probably would not have been permitted in later years. 10 miles from the finish, he had to be restrained by his own trainers from just stopping and lying down. Then they started giving him, get this, strychnine mixed with brandy, which like makes your nervous system twitch to get you, it's rat poison.
My God.
To get him across the finish line. He didn't make it. He started hallucinating with a mile to go, and his trainers just carried him while he like shuffled his legs in the air across the finish line. But they gave him the gold medal anyway. And then finally, another near fatality during the event was William Garcia. He was found lying in the road with severe internal injuries caused by breathing the clouds of dust kicked up by race officials' cars. A Cuban postman joined the marathon, arriving at the last minute. After losing all his money in New Orleans, he hitchhiked to St. Louis, ran the event in street clothes that he cut around the legs to make look like shorts. Not having eaten in 40 hours, he stopped off in an orchard where he ended up eating rotten apples, which gave him strong stomach cramps. He had to lie down during the race and take a nap. He still finished fourth.
Can I ask you a question?
This is the craziest race ever.
Why were you Googling 1904?
Someone tweeted it and said, have you ever seen this story? And I'm like, no. This is the most incredible, unbelievable. Is there not a 30 for 30 on this sport?
There is not. I mean, there's no footage.
It's nuts. That is absolutely insane.
There would be no footage. That is definitely a don't do this.
Holy cow.
Everybody is very happy that you were talking about the new arena?
The BBC.
Yep.
BBC? I'm sure it stands for something that I shouldn't be. I'm not aware of, so I'm not sure. I'm going to leave it there. It's don't do this.
Not British Broadcasting.
For a Friday.
It is definitely not the British Broadcasting Corporation.
That was Don't Do This, presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name, Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
I'm sure I'll be saying much worse in about 20 minutes on Ben Reed's Raps. Anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Before that, though, we'll talk to our guy from the Action Network, Colin Wilson, about all the college and pro football coming up this weekend. That is next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. BBC.
Stings a little, doesn't
it? That's a bummer, yeah.
It is a bummer.
Yep. We've lost Eddie Money
just passed away at the age of 70. He'd been battling cancer for a while. Dude, Eddie Money, like, our guys our age, forget it. Grew up with Eddie Money. Take Me Home Tonight, this song, and Two Tickets to Paradise, I'm sorry. This is a freaking jam. And I just tweeted out, I said, if every band that's playing Kaboo tonight is not working up a cover of an Eddie Money
pop
song,
it up here.
You're doing it wrong.
No, we're not there yet.
Okay. Well, when you get to the chorus.
I thought we were at the
chorus.
He got
very excited. He wanted to hear the chorus. The chorus is amazing.
Yes.
I hit the post.
I thought that was it. I'm sorry. I went a little early.
Well,
never happens.
It happens. Happens to the best of us.
That I went a little early.
Right.
It's different.
70. He's great. He had that little comeback doing the commercials. Hysterical. Making fun of himself.
We're waiting so long. Finally, here it is.
Here
right?
we go.
Oh, yeah, that's a bummer.
It's a decent little pickup line there, too, for the wife, Ben. Hey, I got two tickets to Paradise. Pack your bags. We're leaving tonight. Now, you're going. You're actually doing this to Shelley tonight. Sacramento.
We're going to a wedding, yes.
In Sacramento.
Not Paradise.
I got two tickets to Paradise.
I think Paradise, California is somewhere up by where we're going, but it's not Paradise.
You're not lying.
All right,
rest in peace,
we're
going
to talk to our guy Colin Wilson from the Action Network here about all the football matchups this weekend. All right, joining us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline, going to be with us Fridays throughout the football season from the Action Network. Happy to welcome Colin Wilson back to Ben and Woods. Good Friday morning to you, Colin.
Good morning, guys. I appreciate the Eddie Money stuff. I was a fan of Walk on Water. That was one of my favorite Eddie Money
songs. Oh, man, I had totally forgotten about that song, man. I'm going down the rabbit hole of Eddie Money today, and it's always unfortunate that happens when somebody passes away. But, yeah, rest in peace, Eddie Money, the great Eddie Money, 70 years old.
So, Colin, I looked at all the football college matchups tomorrow, and I was thinking, okay, now we're going to – this is the time of the year where we're going to start to get into some better games, and I was kind of a little underwhelmed by the slate that's coming up on Saturday. What's kind of caught your attention here? Because you don't have any, like, big top 25, top 10 matchups like you had last week with LSU and Texas. It's, at least on paper, a lot of mismatches this week.
There's an absolute reason why tomorrow's the day. Every year I take a trip up to Green Bay. My old man's from Wisconsin. I fly him up to see a Packers game. There's a reason I picked tomorrow to fly. It's because I saw this week three card back 6 months ago, and I said, well, we're definitely going to the Vikings-Packers game because this I can fly on this Saturday. It's bad. There's there's teams, the big boys, the Ohio States of the world, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, they're all on the road. They're all double-digit favorites. And if you want to get a bet down, you've either got to take, a blue blood road program in double digit fashion, or you got to swallow, a lot of points with a team that you probably can't trust at home. So, there's a couple out there that I think are sneaky, but it definitely doesn't involve the big boys. I think Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, I think they're going to roll, but there's some of these other teams that are just getting way too much love in the market. I think Maryland is going to finally find their ceiling. I mean, nobody's been able to stop them yet against Howard and Syracuse. I think there's way too much love in the market for Nebraska still. People don't realize how bad they are at offensive line. So there are places to win on this card tomorrow.
Colin, and one that I looked at, I'm an Irish fan. You know, my dad went there. I didn't really have a choice to be an Irish fan. It's kind of in my blood. But there's no way they're going to beat New Mexico by 35 points because they just don't do that. And their running back is injured. Do you think, and they are at home, but do you think that's a game that, hey, New Mexico plus 35, I got to bet against the Irish, but if I want to make some money, is that a decent play?
Yeah, well, the thing is you can't rely on New Mexico to hold their part of covering that point spread. I mean, what you're hoping for is that they can get at least a field goal or a touchdown on the board.
Yeah.
I do think Notre Dame's defense is legit and they will hold them down. But let's remember, next week is Georgia. We got overlooked at Georgia. So Notre Dame wants to fine-tune things. Like, they need to be stellar on defense against the rush because that's where Georgia is going to pound them. On offense, they just need to move the chain. So when you talk about all this, about how focusing on the rush, Notre Dame needs to improve in that aspect so they can control the clock. They're not going to want to try to light it up the week before and show anything too specific. That makes you lean towards taking the under in this New Mexico-Notre Dame game.
Hey, Colin, what do you think about the USC Trojans? Are they for real now? They're in the top 25. They're going to BYU. Not certainly one of the better BYU teams lately, but it's not an easy place to play in Provo either. What are you expecting this weekend in that matchup?
Yeah, I took BYU plus 4.5. It's not that I hate USC. I was on USC last week, and it was because of a mismatch in the trench. It was because of Mills for Stanford having a harder time grasping the Stanford offense than I saw Keaton Slovis. Slovis knew that offense back from his high school days, so I didn't think it would. And you could see after two quarters, he had it down, right? He was gangbusters with running the air raid. And the problem is people don't realize that BYU was number one in the nation last year in stopping explosive plays. So they do not let you beat them deep. Tennessee only had one pass over 20 yards last week. And that's what BYU wants to do. They want a slugfest. They want you in the trench. They just want to punch you in the mouth. They want to keep everything close. They keep everybody in front of them. And you can't get anything deep. So what that tells me is that not only that, USC has to play Utah. It's the biggest game on their schedule. Clay Helton knows it's going to decide the Pac-12 South. That game's on Friday night next week. It's not even on Saturday. It's short week after this. How interested is USC in this game? I don't know. But BYU doesn't give up big long passes to like an air raid offense. That's why I like BYU in the points. It could be a tough night for USC.
Interesting. All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL. I think the marquee game in any sport this weekend, Rams-Saints, a rematch of the NFC Championship game. This time in Los Angeles, though, give me some of your thoughts on how that one might go.
The problem with this is these two quarterbacks, I think, are both regressing. Breeze isn't really throwing it down the field as much as he did in years past, and Goff's decision-making in space at times is lackadaisical and questionable. I think the only pass rusher that they have now is Aaron Donald, now with the loss of Sue. I don't think they're as mean on the defensive line as they were last year. I think the point spread is correct, but for me, I'm not playing this one at all. I'm actually going to be taking an over in this game. I think both offenses are going to be able. I think Alvin Kamara is going to get his. I think the guys that are backing up Gurley, that running back, his name escapes me, the one that's taking all the red zone carries.
Malcolm Brown.
Oh, wait. Malcolm Brown, yeah. I think that both of these teams are going to get scored upon in the red zone. I'm actually taking the over in this game. It's going to be back and forth. It's going to come down. These NFL games, like last night, they're coming down to the last.
They are.
I mean, yeah. NFL has become almost impossible. Unless you're betting the Ravens against the Dolphins, it just seems like it's impossible. It comes down to the last play every single time.
Well, and you say that, and now we're looking at, so the Ravens, I mean, we knew they would beat the Dolphins. We had no idea that Lamar Jackson was going to go off like he did. Hollywood Brown, all right. Those cats. I mean, they had a banner day against a really bad Dolphins team. Now, you've got a much better team going into Miami this week, the New England Patriots. The line I'm seeing them at is they're favored by 19.5. And I'm looking at the Dolphins with everything they've got going on in their locker room, with the, you know, obviously the nice weapon that the Patriots just added. 19.5 actually seems a little low to me, but it is the NFL, and you don't see those big blowouts.
Yeah, before I talk about that game, I want to talk about Lamar Jackson real quick, because John Harbaugh came out a couple months ago, and somebody brought up to him about what Lamar Jackson's prop rushing yards were on the season. And John Harbaugh actually responded to it and said, oh, I would take the over on his rushing yards any day. He comes out, and immediately a whole bunch of us gamblers and a bunch of connections I have in Vegas, we were immediately taking the under, because we thought that John Harbaugh was, you know, kind of trying to sway people one way to think the way his offense is going to go. Comes out against Miami, and that ball's in the air, and it's going down the field. I expect a lot more passing out of Lamar Jackson. So side note there, Lamar is going to
false
throw.
Flag that he, you know, he's setting up one thing, signal to take advantage of the other way.
He's setting up defenses. The Ravens want people to think that he's going to run all day, and now they're starting to find out that Lamar can actually throw. People that bet on Louisville years ago actually know that now. As far as the Dolphins and the Patriots go, listen, what number can we set this at to try and get Dolphins money? That's where the odds makers are right now. They are adjusting this number the best they can to even out the books, because everybody's loaded. Right now I'm looking at, you know, collectively across all the books, at least 70% of the money, at least 70% of the tickets are on New England, and this Dolphins game is probably going to decide the day for them. They're looking for money. I saw it get up to 19.5. There's some 19s right now. I think at 20, you got to go in and scoop Miami. But even then, you got Minkah Fitzpatrick asking for a trade. Yep. I heard five other players are asking for a trade. Antonio, you got AB now in the mix, and Tom Brady's going to want to hit him. I mean, historically, the Patriots have not done very well down in Miami through the first couple of weeks of the season because of the heat and the humidity and just a different temperature. But this Dolphins team is just, it feels impossible to lay money on these guys. But at the same time, they build these point spreads for a reason. And when they finally, you know, when the market finally, there's the reason why the point spread isn't climbing anymore is because there's money coming in on the Dolphins. I would wait, if you really want to be contrarian and go against Belichick, which I don't ever suggest, wait for this thing to steam out, see if you can get a key number around 20. I doubt a 21 shows up. The big boys with the big dollars that are betting six figures would scoop the 21 up immediately. So, but I mean, the number's overinflated, but you have to have the guts to back Miami.
Last thing for me, speaking of home underdogs, a team that looked good last week, the Oakland Raiders, obviously a little shorter week on Monday Night Football. A much tougher test, though, with the Kansas City Chiefs coming in, a divisional game. But, I mean, if the Raiders found a way to win this one, they clearly say, hey, we're for real. We've put AB in the past. This is a second season under John Gruden. But do they have enough to match up with Kansas City's firepower?
I don't think anybody on defense has enough to match up with Kansas City. But this game, I will say this. I bought 7.5 earlier in the week on Oakland, and I'm ready to pivot and get out of it as quick as I can because there's lots of news floating around, lots of unsubstantiated news that is into my texts and flying into my DMs about Patrick Mahomes may not even play. Oakland's starting safeties are not going to play. So there's a lot of moving pieces to this game right now. And the thing is, with Patrick Mahomes playing on that dirt infield and with the ankle that he's got going on right now, and they've got the Ravens coming up, I could see a thing where he suits up, he warms up, and then he's just a healthy scratch. And as far as Oakland goes, missing their top two safeties, if Patrick Mahomes plays, I'm not sure I want to be on that side either. So the news is hot on this game, and I this is just a thing I would probably – if you want to really invest some real money on it, wait until the key news comes out. Probably wait until an hour before kick because Mahomes, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is worth 10 points to the Green Bay point spread, what is Mahomes worth to the point spread for the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's so
huge. That dirt infield is a really big deal, and they want Mahomes to be healthy the rest of the year. So this is a game I would lay off until you had confirmed news before kickoff.
Last season probably in the history of the NFL with a dirt infield. When they move, yeah, there's no more.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good
That's
point.
The last one.
I tell my sons, I'm like, this is what life was like when I was growing up, is that all these football teams shared a stadium with the baseball team.
Yep.
So it's fun to see.
And then you left the game and you hailed a taxi if you could. That conversation from earlier, Colin, the inside joke. But great stuff. Really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much. We'll chat with you again next Friday.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Colin Wilson,
Dude, that was awesome.
I like that guy.
That was awesome.
Got some good stuff on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. Low rates means low payments. Apply today at sdccu.com. You were saying?
That's like some breaking-ish type.
Got you.
Breaking-ish type news, man, right?
Yeah, on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Maybe not play. Well, I mean, they've talked about the ankle all week.
Well,
that's not news.
But him saying, yeah, I got stuff sliding
but
in my
DMs.
About
that. The dirt infield, I mean, you risk it. It's such an early season game.
I know.
Even if we lose this one, it's a road game. So what? We can go 14-2,
right?
You know, 13-3. We're going to lose somewhere.
Play.
Let's be careful with our quarterback. Makes a lot of sense to me, to be sure. All right, before we get to the wraps, it is time to announce our biggest fan today. If you hear your name called, you will have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. Claim the prize package. We get a pair of Padres Dodgers tickets for September 24th, the Aztecs and Utah State on September 21st. You'll get two tickets to that game, and you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing for a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, a trip to Legacy Stadium, the ultimate sports bar with stadium-style seating. Here we go. Sean Davis, you're the biggest fan. Call now, 833-288-0973. Good luck, Sean. And now, let's read.
Time for the whitest man in America to spit some straight fire.
Oh no, the fight's out. I'm about to punch your lights out.
Each week, Woods gives Ben lyrics from the world of rap and hip-hop to make him as uncomfortable as humanly possible. You're welcome, San Diego. It's Ben Reads Raps on 97.3 The Fan.
Now we may have done this early in the infancy, but it doesn't matter at all because it's still awesome. And a new audience, right?
I don't remember.
You won't remember.
If
the listeners
do it, and anyone complains about hearing
I'll just kick
this
you in the
second time,
I'll kick you in the shin.
We don't.
How about that?
Like
I thought.
Tier
I was
eight.
Sure. I knew you were. I thought I was going to sing the 50 Cent birthday song for Paul's birthday. Is that not where we're going?
That's not where we're going. We're going to go with a little Snoop today because Snoop is he'll be at Caboo.
I've never tried to guess before. I guess wrong.
Yeah, you right,
he'll
you
be
go.
At Caboo tonight with Wu-Tang.
Yeah, with Wu-Tang. Here we go.
All right.
Instagramming live, by the way.
Hi, everybody.
Join us.
Hi, Mom. Good to see you.
I haven't seen Mom join yet.
Yes. All my...
She will.
All my older relatives. With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky SS like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G's and make a few N's as I breeze through 2 a.m. and the party's still jumping because my mama ain't home. I got in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 a.m. So what you want to do? Yes, I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the door. But what? We don't love them Hose, so we gotta smoke an ounce to this. G's up, hose down, while you MFers bounce to this. Rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
I think I might have liked the birthday song a little better than that one. Thank you very much. Bye, Mom.
Oh my God.
What?
You ever heard that song?
Yeah, of course I've heard Gin and Juice.
Of course.
Everyone's yes, of course, heard Gin and Juice. I mean, Bo's heard Gin and Juice. Everyone's heard Gin and Juice.
Bo has actually.
Bo probably
heard.
Knows the lyrics better than I do at
he
this point.
Probably does. Well, you knocked it out of the park. Only one guy had a problem with it. He said tired.
So, tired?
Yeah, it's not.
Tired.
Everybody else loved it.
In the living room getting it on. And they ain't leaving until 6 in the morning.
6 in the morning.
Rubbers and my homeboys do too. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday.
We've done that one, I believe.
We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday.
Are you doing a double Ben Reed's Raps?
No, this is for Paul.
I'll get you the lyrics if you want to do that.
I got it right here. I was sure that's where we were going. I was like, I'm going to preempt them. I'm going to practice. I know where he's going today because it's Paul's birthday tomorrow.
Type in.
It'll be someone else's birthday soon, and we'll just do it later. Yes, I got a pocket. No worries.
That was really, really good.
No worries at all. Full of rubbers, and my homeboys do too. That's what they call, like, galoshes in Britain. Did you know that?
Yes, rubbers.
Put on your rubbers.
Yeah.
Because it's raining outside, and you don't want to get your feet wet, so you put on your rubbers.
I think that this one is, I don't think they were wearing galoshes at Snoop's house party. They might have been.
I think.
And
how
do you fit a bunch of galoshes into your pocket? That would be
very small feet.
That would be very, very tough to do.
You can read the birthday song by 2 Chainz.
As I said, if there is another non-dirty connotation of the word, I just think of that and I just read it that way. Like the British Broadcasting Corporation, and you know, your rubbers, galoshes. That's what we're talking about here.
Still talking
BBC.
About, he's still talking about rubbers. My friend Ben is.
Now, pocket
I'm sure
full
on the
of
BBC.
Rubbers and my
they
homeboys
talk about rubbers
all the time. Because that's what you do when it's raining in England. You put on your rubbers.
That is exactly what you do
you
in
got
England.
A pocket right. full of.
Pocket full of galoshes.
Got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too.
We are your homeboys.
You just don't all want to get wet.
That's exactly
right. Raining
outside.
Always be prepared. You're like Boy Scouts. All right, we got a Friar Friday coming up next. Sam Gainey. Is going to be with us, Padres Senior Director of Player Development. Getting near the end of the season. The nitty-gritty is coming up. But we continue to talk Padres baseball here on the home of the Padres. 97.3 The Fan. Ben and Woods back next. Do not go away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.